Would you take your notes out, please? And you can open up, you see the questions. You can circle questions 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. And worked hard on those. And so I hope that'll just help you engage with this after this morning. Don't look at it now, there's no answers. These are for you to answer during the course of the week. Even if you just picked one a day and just thought about it and interacted with it. So, opening paragraph in your notes, what's your mindset when it comes to things like sports? Do you like sports? You look forward to sports? Are sports on your TV all the time? Do you have the Major League Baseball app on your phone, like my wife does? I know what her mindset is during baseball season. And when I hear oh no, I wonder, what? Who's in trouble? Well, probably some shortstop or something, I don't know. What's your mindset when it comes to sports? How about movie genres? I bet we have a lot of different movie genres represented in this place. How about spending? What's your mindset? What's your mindset when it comes to saving? Theoretically, I believe in it. Race and ethnicity? Or politics, what's your mindset? And what are mindsets? You know, does that mean like I've got my mind made up? Could be. How do you understand your mindsets in various areas? And how do you go about working with or resetting them? Would you mind praying for me this week? It's kind of a mindset question, actually. And I know when people say, hey, pray for me, you know, and then they give a list of two or three things. And I just want you to pray for me. And this week, seriously, I'm going to be going to something all week long down across the street from USC with our missionary, Mike Sylvester. It's actually, I'm going through a training session that Mike prepared for the ministry that he works for the leadership of CRU, which was Campus Crusade for Christ. See, I'm looking at you. I shouldn't be looking out at you through these things because these are readers. But, you know, the institute that he's created is called Lenses Institute. And it's designed to help people in Crusade and many, many others. And as a supporter of Mike's ministry, our churches, I want to see what they're doing. But I also want to have my own understanding of the lenses through which I look at life challenged. I want to have that exposed, the way I look at life. Mike designed this to help people at CRU look at the way they looked at people who are different than themselves. How do they look at people who are a different color, who've come from a different ethnicity, who have grown up looking at life through their lenses? How do we go about doing this? And I had to take a diversity inventory about 2 weeks ago. And I did that, and I thought, oh boy, I'm really in for it. And then I talked with somebody who helped interpret my results. And I thought, I'm just about the most accepting person in the world. So, would you pray for me? Because it's all week long. I don't get to come home in between. They lock up, they take my keys away, my car keys, and I know, I don't know what they're going to do, but pray for me. Will you? You could say amen or no. So our study in Colossians, if you just read the next little paragraph, our study in Colossians began in verse 9 with a prayer to be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Have we talked about that a few times? Yes, we have. Have you been praying for people who are dear to you in your life? These are people who are dear to you. Have you been praying that they will be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Hope you have. An understanding of His will leads us to what it means to be complete in Christ. If you look at your notes right there, that opening paragraph, a knowledge of His will leads us to an understanding of what it means to be complete in Christ. If you've got a pen out, circle those two words, last two words, in Christ, or three words, complete in Christ. God wants you to understand that. And while we are complete in Christ, we can't rest on our laurels in the sense of just kind of going on neutral and not understanding how God wants us to cooperate with Him. We need, in fact, the theme of this message is we need to keep seeking Him. That mindset of seeking Him matters. It really, really matters. As I woke up this morning, my first thoughts were what a privilege it is to stand at the sacred desk that people all over the world are standing at today, reading God's word and talking about it. And it is an awesome responsibility. And the very next words were some of the words that Jaime prayed. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart, even while I'm preaching, be pleasing to Him, You, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Lord, may it be so today. I pray in Christ's name. Amen. Would you please turn in your Bibles to Colossians chapter 3. It's taken me a while to get down to this point when I'm going to read this scripture. I'm going to actually start reading at chapter 2, verse 20. And I'm going to read through chapter 3, verse 4 from the New International Version, which you have in front of you, page 1167 in the Bible in the rack in front of you, page 1167. That's the New International Version. In your notes, in these notes, the words that are used are from the New American Standard Bible today. Verse 20 of chapter 2. Since you died with Christ to the basic principles of the world, why, as though you still belong to it, do you still submit to its rules? Rules like, do not touch, do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. All of those rules are destined, and all of these things are destined to perish with use because they are based on human commands and teachings. Such regulations have indeed an appearance, all those regulations and rules have the appearance of wisdom with their self-imposed worship, their false humility, and their harsh treatment of the body. But they lack any value in restraining sensual indulgence. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated, these things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. For you died and your life is now hidden with God in Christ, or in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. Now, look at your notes, please, because I just want you to follow along. We'll be referring to the NIV. We'll be referring to the New American Standard, that text that you have in front of you in the notes. Paul says, since then you have been raised with Christ. The New American Standard says, if you have been raised up with Christ. Now he's looking forward. He poses this question. The word, the Greek word, is here's your Greek lesson for the day. This will amuse probably most of you. He uses a two-letter word in Greek. The letters for, you could transliterate them, E and I. A, it's pronounced. Just a simple word. Most often, probably translated, if. If you have been raised with Christ. If, you know, sometimes people struggle over hearing that word, and even we've been singing a song recently that uses that word if, as if, well, if this is true or if it's not true, you're going to have to decide whether you, no. This is kind of a vivid way of describing something. It's like, if, and of course the answer to this is yes. You who are followers of Christ, you have been raised with him. If, and you have. Now, the New International Version really probably catches the sense of this all the more when it says, since you have been raised up with Christ. Well, why didn't Paul write that in the first place? Well, he did, but it's kind of hidden in the translation. Since you have been, if you have been, and you have, haven't you, been raised up with Christ? Now we stop, we pause. Since you have been raised up with Christ, say what? I'm looking at a bunch of people here right now that claim to have a relationship with Christ. And if you'd been raised up, I wouldn't be looking at you right now, would I? Pastor, where are you going with this? I don't know if, well, how about this? I don't know if I feel raised up today. Some of you might have come thinking today, I kind of feel kind of sluggish. I feel kind of earthbound today. I feel kind of overwhelmed by my circumstances. I keep thinking about all the stuff on my agenda. I'm a little nervous about this week in LA when I'm going to be probed and prodded and poked. I don't know that I feel so raised up. And anybody looking around says, well, no, you're here. Now, he's using an expression. I wanted to start with verse 20 of chapter 2, because Paul starts out verse 20 of chapter 2 kind of the same way. He says, since you died with Christ. Some of you are saying, yeah, I guess I could identify with that. I feel dead today. I feel kind of, no, yeah, I do. No, he's just saying, I'm starting to talk about something that's pretty serious stuff that we all need to come to terms with. I'm talking about since you died with Christ. Your old life, when you put your trust in Christ, your old life is dead and gone. Right? Can I hear an amen? Okay, good. Can I hear an amen if you really believe it? Okay, good. That's, I guess I believe you. So he says, your old life, you're dead. Your old life is dead. You don't have to live like you're stuck in the mud. And your new life, you've been raised up to walk a new life. Raised up to walk a new life. You know, when we baptize people in the baptistry here, I've baptized a ton of people. I guess I haven't kept track of all the weight, but lifted up. But after all, people are buoyant. And so, But when you, you know, I've said, I learned it from one of my profs in seminary, like 50 years ago. When you baptize somebody, you say, buried with Christ in baptism and raised up to walk a new life. When the fourth graders were sitting down here, when I was teaching them from our school, I would say, you know, I'm going to say to you, if I baptize you, you're buried with Christ in baptism. And just like Jesus was in the ground for 3 days, you'll be under the water for 3 days. No, not. Anyway, at first their eyes get a little bit bigger, you know. No, but then I'll say, then you're raised up to walk a new life. Does a new life, when, as soon as you come out of the water, does your new life now begin? No, it's already been going on. This is just a testimony of your old life is dead and gone, and you've been raised to walk a new life. You know, that's what Paul is talking about here, if you have been raised up with Christ. Now, I had this little epiphany this week. Sarah, my daughter-in-law, was working. Our son, Dave, brought the two young ones over for dinner. And it was a nice time. We got to play with Ellie, who's 4, and Wyatt, who's he's 1 plus a few months. And at one point in time, at that meal, my granddaughter said, she said she had done something wrong, and she was corrected, and she proclaimed, I'm bad. I'm a bad person. To which her daddy said, I didn't ask their permission to say this today, but it's in my notes, guys, so I just felt that I had to say it. When she said, I'm a bad person, Dave said, don't say that. You aren't a bad person. Well, she seemed to accept that. It was good. You see, here's what Paul was struggling with in teaching from prison in this letter, teaching these people that he had never met. This is what he's telling them. Those false teachers there in your town who've been kind of invading your space, they're trying to teach you you're a bad person, and you've got to jump through all the hoops that they keep telling you you have to jump through. And he's saying, you don't understand, guys, how complete you are in Christ. I love the way Paul described this. Now, we're in Colossians. Just turn back one, probably just turn the page of your Bible back to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Paul is described in Philippians chapter 2. He says, if there's any encouragement from being united with Christ. Here's the word if. What's the answer to it? Is there any encouragement in Christ? What is it? Yes, there is encouragement. He uses the word if. Don't doubt what he's saying right here. If there is any encouragement from being united with Christ, yes, there is. If there's any comfort from his love, oh, yes, there is. If any fellowship with this Holy Spirit, fellowship, sharing direction with the Holy Spirit, there is. If any tenderness and compassion, there is. Then make my joy by being complete, like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider other people as better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. Now, your mindset, your attitude, the direction of your soul should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but he made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant and being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself. Like, you guys need to be, to humble yourself with that same mindset, with that same attitude. Therefore, God highly exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow And every tongue will confess one day that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Amen? Amen. Therefore, my dear friends, I read all that to get down to now verse 12. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my absence, in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who is at work within you to act and to do according to his good purpose. To will and to do his will. Work out your salvation. Is this all about self-determination? Is it? No. It's work out. If you're complete in Christ, and you set your heart on things in heaven, work out all the implications. Work out all the implications of your salvation with fear and trembling. Paul goes on in that verse, keep seeking the things that are above. Keep seeking the things as you've been raised up with Christ. Now keep seeking. In the NIV, it says, set your hearts on things above. But the real sense of setting your heart on things above is this is a present tense verb, which says, keep seeking the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Keep seeking these things. Turn with me, please, in your Bible to what Jesus had to say about this in Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, page 960 in the Bible in front of you. Matthew chapter 6, verses 20 and 21. Verse 19. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourself treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, what? That's where they'll find your heart. Where your treasure is. You know, this word to seek right here, or set your mind there, this is a word that describes seeking something with a desire to possess it. You write that down. He's talking about seeking something with a desire to possess that. It means to be absorbed with the idea of possessing that very thing. So we got to stop and ask ourselves. I invite you to join me in this exercise. What things are you absorbed with? These things that you want to seek and possess. Think of some of the things that you have possessed recently. Maybe you really wanted a new car. I meet with these guys we're a bunch of old guys, okay? At our age, what we should be thinking of is, I need to be thinking about my last car. Back when I was 42, I wanted to buy a new pair of soccer shoes, new soccer spikes. I was a soccer coach, and my soccer spikes were worn out. I wanted a new pair of soccer shoes. And to my wife, one athletic shoe is the same as any other athletic shoe. Could be a hockey skate. It could be just an old tennis shoe, you know, the old style. I said, I'd really like to have a pair of new soccer shoes. And she said, well, okay, this will be your last. I know I've told that before, but I'm stunned by this. So now I'm thinking about, as we're sitting at doing our little Bible study, one of the guys has mentioned over and over and over again, you know, my vehicle has like 230,000 miles on it, and it's in perfectly good shape, but I'm really, I mean, this is week after week, month after month, and he's a lot older than me, but yeah, he thinks about this new vehicle. You think about these things, and I know he's wondering, one day I think I should break down and maybe buy something. I can buy it. Why not? And we all when he brings this up, he's really laughing at himself as he says it. You know, I really don't need this. I kind of do want it. Seeking something with a desire to possess it. I was thinking about the things in life that we spend money on. The things in life that we maybe spend a little more money on than we know we really should spend. What Paul is challenging us, and he says, keep seeking to possess those things that really, really matter. I know as I was sharing something like this with my wife this week, she probably thought, well, this all seems so obvious, in the sense that I was saying, you know, what eternal value is this thing? I'm not going to even tell you what that was. Or this thing, or this thing, or this thing. You know, the only things that are of any value are people that will live on forever, and God's word. Do you agree? Would you challenge that? The only stuff that really matters are the things that will last forever, in God's presence or not. What really matters is the condition today, the things that I pursue. Today, the only things that really matter to me, really matter, should really matter, would be the condition of the souls of my children and my grandchildren and my friends. My friends. This is the stuff that matters. When we meet for a study, does my oatmeal really matter? I mean, here today, gone tomorrow. How about a bear claw? A bear claw. Yeah, man. The things that really matter are the conditions of the souls of the guys at my table with me and the encouragement and the help that we give each other along the way. That really matters. What really matters are the stories we hear from each other about how God is at work in our lives. That really matters. What really matters is the openness, the transparency, and the accountability that comes to a group of people, men, women, couples, young people. What really matters is that accountability and the growth of that group together. What really matters in our midst right here is the absolute mystery of how, when God's word is spoken, there is this possibility and probability that God wants to be working in all of us together at the same time. And the messages will be absorbed a little differently. But God, in the hearing of his word, unites people. As people gather to pray, the mystery is that God is at work right there in their midst. And they begin to pray in a way that is not meant to impress anybody at the table, but it's meant to bring people together. So Paul says, set your minds on things above. Set your mind on things above. Well, just before he'd said, be seeking the things, or in verse, in the NIV, it says, set your hearts on things above. Your hearts are your passions and your desires and your values. Set your minds on things above, your thoughts and your meditations. Set your minds on those things above. Rather than the rules and mental gymnastics that the Gnostics or the mystics or the Judaizers wanted them to go through, set your minds on things above. Now, back again to Philippians chapter 4. Just turn back one page, Philippians chapter 4. What does it mean to set our minds on things above? Guys, I want you to think about this. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. As after Paul has said, rejoice in the Lord always, verse 4. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything. Has your mind ever been just totally filled with anxiety? You know what that feels like, don't you? It just wakes you up in the middle of the night. It just kind of creeps up the back of your neck, and there's tension in the back of your head. It's anxiety. It's stress. Be anxious for nothing, and then in prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, think on it. Whatever is true, think on it. Whatever is right, whatever is noble, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Set your minds. Always be seeking in your thoughts that which is of eternal value. Dennis mentioned this in his announcements. He talked about the come to him dinner last night. It wasn't a dinner; it was hors d'oeuvres and desserts. It was dinner for most of us. It was a really good event, and we heard people step up and give testimonies. They gave testimonies of real, real, real brokenness. And we're all broken, aren't we? But we heard, when we set our minds on things above, we surround ourselves with people who tell the stories that we need to hear. I got a prayer letter from somebody that I saw on the field on my missionary trip to Pakistan. And I could see his face as I read that letter. And I could see the face of his wife and his children. And I knew where they ministered. And I knew the kind of pressure that they were under. And this guy was just, it's just like the letter, it just comes alive in me. Last night we heard these people, these testimonies from people, a number of them that we in Calvary know. We know them. We've seen their lives. We've seen change. And when we see change, it gives us what? Hope. It gives us hope. It kind of sometimes instructs us when we hear those stories as to how we should pray for our spouse, for our kids, for our grandchildren, for our neighbors, for our friends sitting here who are dealing with some pretty heavy issues. Listening to the right stories, it's part of setting our minds on things above rather than getting stuck on things in the earth, on earth, that just might be telling us it's not working. Verse 3, for you have died. Here it is again. And your life is hidden with God in Christ. Verse 20 of chapter 2, you've died and your life is hidden with God in Christ. Let me just briefly say this, the word hidden with God in Christ, my life is hidden in him. Yeah, the world can't see it. What's hidden. They don't understand me. I've heard some absolutely horrible, outlandish things through the media in the last couple of weeks about how awful Christians are, about how deluded Christians are, how bigoted Christians are, how boneheaded Christians are. The world can't see what's going on inside of you. Hopefully, we are being exposed to people around us, right here, and in our small groups, people that understand what's going on inside of us. When I stood in the hospital hall and I looked in to see Karen in that hospital bed, and she said, "Pastor, it's so good to see you." And I don't know, I made some wisecrack, and then she said something back, and I said, well, you know, she was basically saying, well, this is better than the alternative of not being able to see you. And I said, well, nah, here's your pastor now saying to you, well, I guess, you know, if you woke up the other side of glory, that wouldn't be such a bad deal, would it? Now you're saying to yourself, Pastor, please don't visit me in the hospital. I need an encouraging word. Now, she knew what I meant because, you see, I had already sensed and I heard, and over the years, I've heard the condition of her soul as she would turn to God and say, I know who's in control. None of this is a surprise to him. You have died, and your life is hidden with God in Christ. And there are plenty of people that don't know what makes you tick. Amen to that. And then, the end of verse 4. Man, this really gets revealed. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Two stops on this little explanation. When I read this verse, I cannot stop thinking, there's a face that comes to my mind every time I read this verse. It's Armando. I remember Armando years ago calling my attention to this verse. When Christ, who is your life, I have life in him. My life is hopefully centered in him. My life could be described as being organized around the relationship that he purchased for me. And my life is hopefully organized day after day around him. Armando, thank you for calling my attention to that, like a favorite expression. When Christ, who is your life, appears. What's he talking about appearing? When he appears in glory, when he appears in the sky, when Christ, who is your life, appears, then, though the world didn't recognize what was going on in you, your life, the inner you, was hidden from the world. When Christ appears, then you will appear with him in glory. That expression, appears, means to be manifested. It means, behind that expression is, when Christ in the sky, when his true character, his true being is manifested in the sky, then your character will be manifested all the more obvious. Paul would write, when we see him, we'll be like him, for we will see him as he is? What's your mindset? Is your heart focused on the things, the values of heaven, the souls of people, or is it stuck here on earth? What are you thinking? How is it feeding your life today? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you that we're not left to our imaginations. I pray, Father, for myself, for all of my friends, for my family, that our mindset will be the mindset that you desire for us. Lord, you know us inside and out. I pray you'd keep working the life of Christ into me. I thank you that he's in me and that I'm in him. I pray for family and friends that will enjoy the mystery of that relationship that you purchased. And I pray this in Christ's name. Amen.